Near the top of President-elect Trump's priorities for his first 100 days in office is undoing some of the signature environmental policies of the Obama administration. Though recently he softened his stance on climate change action, saying he'll keep an open mind when it comes to the Paris Climate Agreement. Still, his plans have been met with alarm by environmentalists, and we've been talking to people inside the movement about what the election results mean for their future plans. Most recently, I spoke with May Bouvy, executive director at 350.org, from her office in New York. The 350 in the climate group's name refers to 350 parts per million, the upper limit of carbon in the atmosphere that scientists say will still sustain life on Earth as we know it. The number is currently 400 parts per million.
One of the goals of 350.org is to keep coal, natural gas, fossil fuels in the ground. And President-elect Trump has specifically talked about opening up more public lands to fossil fuel development, reviving the coal industry. So I'm wondering how your organization is responding to the outcome of the presidential election.
Well, we're very clear that his policies are a disaster for the climate, and he's planning a radical attack on our communities and the environment, which would include polluting our air, poisoning our water, destroying the climate. So we have no illusions about how serious of a threat this is, and we are going to fight back like the world depends on it, because we believe it does.
Climate change barely made it into the headlines around the presidential election or even into the last round of the presidential debates. How are you looking to engage some of those disaffected voters or disappointed voters, or even people who didn't vote at all around climate change?
Climate denial has gotten some new life because of his election and because Trump has nominated Myron Ebel, who is famous for only one thing, which is for being a climate change denier. Nominating him to the head of the Environmental Protection Agency, I think it's put a lot of people who weren't even necessarily thinking about climate change very much in a new sense of urgency. One of the challenges that we face politically is a sense of despair and a sense of just giving in and being cynical about politics. And we actually think that what he intends to do about climate change will jolt people out of that, because it will have an impact that will be experienced over decades and generations to come. Speaking to people about the impacts of climate change that have already been experienced and what is likely to change if the Trump agenda goes through will actually bring more people into the movement.
Do you think 350.org has been effective? And what are you looking to do to be more successful, especially in this new political climate?
We're trying not to take anything for granted right now, because while there was a lot of momentum on climate in the past few years, there was also a tremendous amount of terrible news coming out of the scientific community about just how serious the problem had become, from the Arctic ice melt, which was happening at a pace that no one expected, to the testimonies of people on the ground whose homes are being destroyed by typhoons and hurricanes, and on and on. So with this news, with this election, it feels like we've crashed into a ditch in many respects. This is much more than hitting a speed bump. And we have always wanted and sought to be very honest, both about the scale of the problem of climate change, but also about the relative scale and power of our movement. And it's clear in this moment, we are not strong enough. And so we have to do something serious about that. And we have to try things we haven't tried before. We have to do organizing in ways we haven't tried it.
What do you mean when you say new organizing techniques?
There's obviously incredible innovation happening in digital organizing and being able to organize protests very quickly by putting a Facebook event out. That's amazing, and that kind of work is going to keep happening. At the same time, there are tried and true methods of going to meet people at their doorsteps and having conversations that could actually change people's minds. And I think in a moment like this, where the polarization in the country is so extreme, we've got to be looking at some of those traditional tactics and perhaps trying them at new scales or in new ways.
With likely little or no support in the Trump administration for federal climate policies, like the Clean Power Plan, how much influence can state and local government and communities have on meaningful climate action?
It's a great point and something that a lot of movements are thinking about right now. We're not just going to fight harder as if nothing has changed. We're going to be building our power on the local and state level through local elections, through city and state organizing, and through smart local policies to protect the most vulnerable people, to keep fossil fuels in the ground, reduce emissions, and fight for a new economy that works for people and the planet.
Do you think that there's enough power on those levels to kind of counteract the policies that may or may not be in place under a Trump administration?
We don't know yet. And I think right now the answer is probably no, but we can build it. And this is power we know how to build. This is how movements have fought back against threats over many years. It's something we're quite familiar with in the climate movement and at 350. We worked on the fossil fuel divestment campaign for many years, which gave students, union members, church attendees a tool with which to organize and learn how to hold meetings, create goals, ask decision makers to make change. All of these kinds of tools help build leaders. And so there are many, many leaders currently active, but we know we're going to need more if we're going to counteract an agenda as fierce and dangerous as the one that's being suggested in the agenda.
What have your members been saying to you? What have you been hearing from them about the election outcome and their hopes for the future?
Well, first of all, we're hearing a lot from people, and that's been encouraging in and of itself. And we're hearing from people who have not been active before. We're getting new signups. We're starting to get a lot of ideas from people, getting emails suggesting, you know, what if we tried this thing on Inauguration Day? What if everybody at the local level focused on this one project? So I'm taking heart from that. We're also hearing that people are very sobered, and I am experiencing a new seriousness, taking off the rose-colored glasses and really trying to focus on what's going to be most important and most effective and not wanting to waste any time.
Well, thank you so much for talking with me.
You're welcome.
May Boovie is executive director at 350.org, and I spoke with her from her office in New York. This is the Allegheny Front. I'm Carol Holsapple.